Fellow Freedom fans, we're back here with the Faith and Freedom Show. I'm David Allen Carmichael. And fortunately, as we promised, things are actually working suddenly. And we're going to have a wonderful interview with Jeff Dickstein. And he is a lawyer in Wisconsin. And he's got a fascinating case with a name of Mr. Benson on it. Now, some of you of our listening audience probably know much more about this case than I do. It was sent to me. I was kind of notified about it, and it's quite fascinating. I listened to the oral argument in the Federal Circuit Court, in the Court of Appeals, and it was quite intriguing. I think there's some important things that every one of us need to consider when we hear about this case. A lot of it is going to have to do with the First Amendment, free speech, commercial speech, what's the difference, and things like that. So, Jeff Dickstein, thank you for having and consenting to this interview. And if you could you just kind of give us a synopsis of the case, the name of the case, and essentially for our audience, what the case is about?
Hello, David. Yeah, I'd be happy to. The name of the case is United States versus William J. Benson. It was originally filed in the Federal District Court for the Northern District of Illinois, which covers Chicago. And the case involves the government's effort to censor and punish Benson's research and the sale of that research over the internet, where he contends less than the required, constitutionally required number of states voted to ratify the 16th Amendment, which pertains to the federal income tax.
Okay, what I'm going to do on that is there's a couple of very intriguing things here. One of them is that matter of whether or not the 16th Amendment was ratified. As I was reading this, I realized really relating to that is whether or not a court has actually investigated the information that Mr. Benson relies on. And we'll be telling people about that. The other thing I saw that was striking about this case was it was the government telling him he could no longer sell a particular information package. And so that was a key thing. But I was fascinated that essentially your fight against this injunction motion that the government was making was how can they say he can't or he has to be enjoined from making false statements when what he believes that this information he believes to be true? Tell us what were the particular points that you were particularly making in the Court of Appeals about their challenge to basically silence him through this information package?
Well, you basically asked questions there, and the answer is kind of the same. One answer is more general than the other. Some of you may remember from your history lessons a guy named Galileo who invented the telescope and then started looking through it at night, obviously having nothing better to do with his time. And he decided that the church's position that the earth was the center of the universe was wrong. And so he wrote a book and published that. And then the church got a hold of him and tried him in the Roman Inquisition. And they decided that his position was blasphemy, and therefore his evidence wasn't considered, and he was found guilty. Well, the same thing has happened to Bill Benson. Bill discovered that numerous states in the process of attempting to ratify the 16th Amendment, not being satisfied with what Congress proposed, amended the language and then voted to ratify their amendments. That violates the federal constitution. So he discovered that, was selling the information on the internet, and the government comes in and says, Benson's making a false statement that the 16th Amendment wasn't ratified, and the reason it's false is because we've decided that we can't review that issue or we're not going to review that issue. So here you have official state ideology that this is non-reviewable, and because it's non-reviewable, Benson's statement has to be false as a matter of law, and they were so into that position that when we submitted certified, notarized government documents, which came, number one, from the National Archives in Washington, D.C., and from the Secretary of State, from the various states, all certified, all admissible in evidence. There's an evidentiary exception to these certified public records that they're, you know, if they're properly signed and stamped and authorized or notarized and certified, they're admissible. They're not hearsay, and there's no authentication problem. So we have these 17,000 documents, some of which we presented to the court and said, look, according to these documents, Benson's right. 16th Amendment wasn't ratified. Well, the government decided that those documents were irrelevant, immaterial, scandalous, and impertinent, and moved to strike them from the record. And that's just exactly what the court did. The court threw Bill's evidence out.
Well, I'm going to stop you there, and just for our audience, because I'm going to try to walk us through this and get us a good bang for the buck, and also not poke people in the brain too much because they'll kill too many brain cells. But the one of the things that I'm going to just kind of take that subject that you said. One of the things that, and I'll summarize it for our audience, essentially as I was reading it, there's this argument that says, hey, there's a way that this could have been ratified lawfully, and then there's a way depending on how the states responded, it wasn't really ratified. So, and it hasn't been investigated yet, though this information's been put to courts, they actually have not ruled on the merits on that argument, but what they've done is said the argument is frivolous without ever really going down and examining the claim is what I saw. Now we're going to kind of get kind of technical here. So I think it'll provide some entertainment value, some education value, and we're recording this and I think it's going to be replayable. I think what you're going to tell us next is going to be good stuff. You made an argument there about, and I'm trying to think of the terms that you used. But there is a term that basically when they sent it to a state, the state would actually either have to ratify it as it was or send it back and say, oh, we can't tolerate that. If you'll change it, then we'll ratify it. But it was called an enrolled bill, and I'm not really sure of the details of that. If you could explain to me and our listeners what the difference is, what it was when they sent it back in a different form, what that really means.
Well, we have a bicameral system of government here where we have the House and the Senate, and that occurs both at the federal level and the state level. And both houses have to pass the identical version of a law, because if the Senate passed one version and it was amended by the House and they passed a different version, then which one are the people supposed to follow? That would be a denial of due process because there's two versions of the same law. So what happens is when the House passes a bill, they sign off on it. The president of the House or the secretary of the House signs it, certifies it, and says this is precisely what we passed. And then they send that to the other side. And if the other side agrees and votes to pass the exact same version, they do so, and then what they pass is compared with what the other side passed to make sure they're the same, and then the President of the House and the President of the Senate signs it. That gets sent up to the Secretary of State, and he publishes it, and that's what's known as an enrolled bill. It is the official version of what was passed. So what happened here in the 16th Amendment is they modified what Congress proposed and then voted to ratify that following the same procedure, in and out of committees. There were amendments, there were votes on the amendment. And then what they sent to the Secretary of State, who at the time was Philander Knox, was their enrolled bill. So when you compare what the states did with what Congress did, Secretary of State noticed that they were different. And so he had a problem. So he asked for an official legal opinion from the Solicitor of the United States. And the solicitor said, well, states have no authority to modify what Congress proposed, and therefore we're going to ignore the enrolled bills and just presume that they didn't.
And you know what strikes me, as I understand it, and I haven't reviewed the Constitution on this in a while, but there is a provision for states, if they want to propose a change to the Constitution on by themselves without responding to Congress, that they could come up with a nice, juicy enrolled bill, and all of them could, all the states, you know, a certain number of states could get together and propose a change to the Constitution that could be forced upon Congress. Is that not true?
Yeah.
But that's essentially, it's sort of like three or four or five of them sort of did that, and it wasn't the same thing Congress was doing. So they were actually, one was an apple and one was an orange, essentially, is what you're telling me.
Right, and the office of the solicitor wrote an opinion and said, well, they may be apples and oranges, but we know that the states intended to do bananas, which is what Congress proposed, and therefore we're going to decide that all of these enrolled bills just contain mere typographical errors. Apparently there was some sort of virus going around where all the clerks working for the state legislatures became incompetent during this year and a half, 2 year period of time, and lost their capacity to read English and to copy stuff over from one document to another.
You know, there's a pandemic of dementia sweeping the globe. I think that's where that started. So I say that on our show. Hey, just to let people know what you're listening to, we're going to take a break in a couple of minutes, but I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is the Faith and Freedom Show here in the Eagle 104.3 FM. You're listening to Jeff Dickstein, and he's got an important case that has just gone through one of the appeals courts, and we're going to kind of dissect it a little bit because it has so many elements I think are important. So basically, his client says he's done the research and realized, oh, my goodness, this proposal for an amendment to the Constitution was never ratified by the requisite number of states. Some states came up with their own plan, which they can do. The only problem is that state plan has to be agreed upon by a requisite number of states. But it's different. What they propose as states and what the Congress asked to have ratified, that's two different avenues of proposing a constitutional amendment. And there's basically they have to be done one way or the other, or both at the same time or whatever. Yeah, I mean, you could actually end up with a 16th and a 17th amendment that way if you wanted to, I guess. Well, it depends on the details. So that's something I think is very intriguing. And as we understand it, that your client understood that is, and that he did the research and he came up with that information. And as I understand it, all the courts have done at this point have basically said, they've kind of just summarily said, oh, that's frivolous, it's goofy, we don't want to hear about it. Nobody's actually gone to the argument and actually written a response to declare what the law is with regard to that argument and those facts, have they?
What the courts have done is said, you know, Benson discovered the same thing that Knox discovered, that there were differences. And Knox decided those were mere typographical errors, and his certification of ratification is binding on us. We can't go behind it.
And that's what they've declared?
That's what they've declared. And because they can't go behind it and it's binding, they've declared the 16th Amendment was ratified, and they have no power to review it.
Okay, we're going to take a break right now, folks. We're going to come back. This is very intriguing. We're going to come back and talk about some of these First Amendment issues and what's at stake here for you and me and everybody on the planet. And keep tuning in to the Eagle 104.3 FM. Also, you can check us out on video at faithfreedoms.org. We shall return.